Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There is a man who has been playing an outsized and extraordinarily important role in helping the rest of us understand what's going on in a domestic front of that war, I would argue, and that is the effort to first defeat Donald Trump in the course of the 2016 campaign and subsequently to try to destroy his presidency. He is our guest today, I'm very pleased to say, fresh from an appearance on Tucker Carlson's show last night and a superb appearance with Ginny Thomas in her Leaders series at the Daily Caller, Joseph DeGeneva. He is currently the founding partner of a law firm, DeGeneva and Tensing. He is a former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. He has served in a number of capacities on Capitol Hill, but he was also a special counsel for the U.S. House of Representatives, a man of many parts and very well-informed opinions. And we're delighted to have him come back to us and to be able to pick his brains a little bit. Joe DeGeneva, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
Well, you have been speaking rather, well, bluntly, shall we say, directly, about a blatant conspiracy. And there's a lot of people who have impugned, I'm sure you, and certainly me and others of us, as conspiracy theorists. But you have really marshaled the arguments very powerfully, and I'd like to give you a chance to do so quickly here, if you would, as to what the conspiracy is, who's been behind it, and what is its purpose.
Well, the evidence is now overwhelming to anyone willing to look at it, that there was a brazen, and I underscore brazen, plot by a group of people in the White House, the Obama White House, and the Obama Justice Department and FBI to do a number of things, to exonerate Hillary Clinton illegally from her email server crimes, and then to help her get elected. And if she did not get elected, their job was to frame Donald Trump for a false crime. And in the course of doing that, they, along with John Brennan at the CIA, James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, submitted false documents to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court in order to get electronic surveillance of the Trump campaign and its various people. And this was all done with the knowledge of Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes. The evidence of that is contained in an April 26, 2017 opinion by the FISA court itself, in which it outlines what it called serious and continuing blatant violations of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act law. What they did was they created out of whole cloth a reason to snoop and surveil the Trump people where none existed. Mr. Comey was aware of all of this, condoned it. We all know the names of all the players inside the FBI and inside the Department of Justice: Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, the Deputy Attorney General, Bruce Ohr, and John Carlin, the Assistant Attorney General for National Security, who signed all of the FISA warrant applications. We are, Frank, in what I call 7 days in May. This was the 7 days in May plot that was unbelievable in our republic that something like this could have happened, but it did. And it all stemmed from an animus against Donald Trump. None of these people could stand the thought of him being president and Hillary Clinton not being president. It motivated them, it compelled them, and it thrust them into the world of crime.
Joe DeGeneva, you've mentioned several of the key players in the Department of Justice. There are several in addition to James Comey who were and are, amazingly enough, still in the FBI. Would you talk a little bit about Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok and their roles in this affair?
Well, Andrew McCabe was the chief deputy to James Comey. and had spent a career at the FBI. McCabe was a person who was deeply involved in communication with politicians. His wife ran for state senate in Virginia, was backed by Terry McAuliffe. Peter Strzok, who was from the counterintelligence part of the FBI, was involved in everything from the very beginning, including the false creation of a counterintelligence investigation of Mr. Trump, the dossier, and subsequent information about all of that being placed before the FISA court.
Yeah, I call him the Forrest Gump of all of this. He was actually involved, as you've pointed out, in the Hillary Clinton cover-up as well. I mean, this guy turns up like a bad penny all over the place.
Well, he's actually a very evil man. Forrest Gump was a lovely person. Peter Strzok is a very, very evil man because he was responsible for the non-interview of Hillary Clinton, which preceded James Comey's phony exoneration on July 5th. He was involved in the investigation of Michael Flynn. He conducted the interview of Michael Flynn at the White House, which led to his guilty plea, where Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying about acts that were completely legal to perform as an American citizen. It's quite obvious that, especially given the tweets and the text messages that Strzok and Page that have now been made public, that there was indeed a cabal in which all of these people were involved. It's very, very important for people to realize that this is not a distraction, as some of the corrupt Democrats in the House and Senate are saying, because they're so frightened of the facts here. This was a criminal conspiracy engaged in by people at the senior levels of the United States government. And I'll tell you something, if there is not a federal grand jury on this now, there must be one soon, and I can only assume that Jeff Sessions has it in his sights.
Let's hope so. Let me ask you about dwelling on your experience as a former special counsel yourself, Joe DeGeneva, about the Mueller investigation. In several of your recent appearances, you've been very critical of Mueller. Tell us why.
Well, Bob Mueller is supposed to be, and eminence agrees, someone who's been around the block. He's very smart. He's very sophisticated. He has all this law enforcement experience. Assistant Attorney General for Criminal, U.S. Attorney San Francisco, head of the FBI. And yet, with a kind of indifferent arrogance, he has surrounded himself with a group of senior Democratic lawyers who almost all contributed to Hillary Clinton, showed up at her almost victory party, have said many, many critical things about Donald Trump. And he has the gall to just say nothing about it. He finally removed Peter Strzok from the investigation, who was working for him, when he found out about Strzok's text messages with Lisa Page. The problem is he didn't tell anybody that he did it. And it wasn't until months later that the Congress and the public found out that Mueller had removed Strzok. Now, why would you hide that from the public? The answer is very simple. Bob Mueller has overstepped his bounds. His investigation is out of control. He no longer enjoys the confidence of the American people. He's become a very, very old man very quickly, and he's beginning to look like Captain Ahab. The President of the United States is supposed to be interviewed by him. I think if Mueller does that, it will be his last disgraceful act. He knows that the president has done nothing wrong. There's no evidence of a Russian conspiracy. And to abuse the President of the United States by asking him for an interview in the middle of the world and national and domestic problems that the president is facing is a disgrace. And Bob Mueller should be ashamed of himself.
In addition to all of that, of course, as you've pointed out, his conflicts as a result of his longstanding personal relationship with James Comey, his conduct with respect to the Uranium One deal, and the fact that he is, as you say, kind of like Ahab and the white whale, pursuing this seemingly unsupported by the evidence charge that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Very quickly, Joe, before I let you go, the Nunes memo is apparently going to be released shortly in some form. How important do you think that is to fleshing out our understanding of what's afoot here?
Well, it's very important because what it does is it lays out the lying to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which was done by senior Justice Department and FBI officials in order to get surveillance warrants against the Trump people. So that four-page document is vital to understanding the basic coup that was attempted and how it was done by abusing legal process.
I know you have cited Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, as one of the heroes of this story. I hope very much that heroism will be evidenced by the release of this report soon. Joe DeGenova, thank you for the superb work you're doing, both on the media and, of course, in your firm, to try to help us understand what's going on here. Next up, we'll talk with Diana West about this seeming coup and a red thread she seems to think runs through it. That and more, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.